Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear. This is the oldest running Trapping Radio show, even though tonight you might not think so. This is Friday. I need to see the date. Well, it's the day it's coming out. And we're going to talk about something that is not trapping related again. And the reason I want to do this is what I think is coming, which I've already talked about a couple of weeks ago. When you start seeing and hearing things, you can react logically instead of emotionally. That way, like if you listen to me read the Antifa handbook and someone Antifa calls you a racist, and you realize they don't even believe you're racist when they call you that, it's a tactic they talk about, it loses a lot of its sting, if you follow what I'm saying. What we're going to talk about tonight is insurgency, because I don't think a lot of people quite understand what that means, and what you're going to be seeing from now to election, and what you're probably going to see after election. And it's a very serious topic. It's so serious, I've got some Glenlivet 17 with me to help me get through this. And it's something I want you to think about. I want you to pay attention to. I want you to observe what you're hearing on social media and the news and friends and everything else. So when everything seems to go bat shit crazy all at once, you can go, yeah, I know what this is. That way you can make a logical decision. If you don't know what's going to happen is going to happen. You're going to see massive panic. And that's where things get stupid. People make bad decisions. And they end up regretting what happens because they don't realize what's going on. Or they're going to fall into denial, thinking that this is America and this doesn't work and this is all going to blow over. And it's just going to go away, and they can live in that ignorance, and they can live in that being naive. But it's real. Like I said last time we talked about this 2 weeks ago, if you study military history, you know exactly what's going on. The problem is, they don't teach you that in school, do they? They don't even teach you real history anymore. There's a reason for that. But before we get to tonight's show, and I drank too much of this Glenlivet, I want to thank our sponsors. They're the reason that we still have a show. They help pay servers cost, all the other stuff that goes along with this. And we've got the best guys in the industry. We've got guys you can depend on. We've got guys you know that's going to be there when you want them to be. They're going to be able to ship your stuff out on time. They're going to have what you want. It's going to be at great prices. We have F&T Fur Harvesters out of Michigan. They have everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Most of y'all know who they are. They got a TV show out. Me and Jeff do a lot with them. They're just really, really good guys. They have, I mean, if you need it, they pretty much got it. The next, we have Oki Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. He's another dealer that has full line of trapping supply products. He's got all kinds of odd and end stuff most of the time. I just had him ship me down some stuff that came. It was actually here within 48 hours of me calling him in the late afternoon. I don't know how he did it. Came in perfect condition. I needed it for making lures and baits, and bam, he's dependable. Then we got Dunlap Lures, which is a good friend of mine, Jeff Dunlap, which I'm going to talk about a little bit before we get into the main topic of the show. He makes the lures of Dunlap Lures. I think he was just in Indiana or may be in Indiana right now at a show. And then we're getting ready to do our school and our convention, which I'm getting ready to talk about. But he's a real deal. I mean, he's not a blowhard. He really believes in trappers. He didn't think that trappers are naive. A lot of what you get and a lot of stuff you see today, he just wants to help trappers. And he makes good lure, gives out good information, and he's just somebody that if you've never tried his stuff, you owe it to yourself to do that. Then we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're out of Iowa. They're going to be at our convention on the 2nd, 3rd of October, which is the Friday and Saturday, first Friday and Saturday of October. He's going to have all this stuff down there. If you need it, you can come down to Allen and get it. If you're a trapping brigade member, remember to get that code so you can get your 10% off, 10% off at mine. And you can really save some money. You can pick up stuff, save a lot of shipping. He's got all kind of stuff from trapping to deer hunting to fishing to hawk hunting to predator calling. And if you ever get to meet Allen, he's going to be a friend forever because that's just the kind of guy that he is. So before we get into the main topic, because it's going to get serious and it's going to be a little disheartening to some people and it's going to be very science fiction to other people, I want to talk about me and Jeff's school coming up. Guys, if you're a student, everything you need to know that you need to bring to the school is on my store at Wolfer Nation PCG store underneath where you signed up for the class. Just go under the words and you'll see a packing list. And that way you'll know what to bring. That I thought it would be much simpler that way than having to send out packets and mess with the mail and all that type of stuff. It was just simple. Plus anybody next year that's thinking about coming, if we do another one, you'll know exactly what you need to bring. It's pretty much just be, bring what you need to trap with, a couple of traps, snares if you need them, clothes to deal with the weather. We don't know what the weather's going to be. Some bed linen because we're supplying beds and camps and stuff for you to be in. But you need to bring your sleeping bag or some blankets or pillows, or whatever you need to sleep with, a fan if you need to have white noise. I mean, that's what I do, sleep with a fan. Whatever you need to do, that's what you need to bring to the school. Bring an open mind, bring a smile, and bring positivity. That's what you also need to bring to this school. Now for the convention on that first Friday and Saturday of October, it's going to be at the same place. If you're thinking about coming to the convention, if you got some stuff you need to get rid of, you can come tailgate. If you're a dealer and you want to come, let me know and we'll see if we can do that, depending on what it is that you're doing. And I know me and Jeff's going to be there. Chip may be there. Backwater Lures from Iowa is going to be there. H2O is probably going to have all kind of different stuff there. And then Funky's going to be there. Funky's going to have everything that you'd ever want. Jeff Dunlap's going to be there. And we're going to probably do a lot more, we're probably going to do not as formal of demos so we can try to get people involved and get people to not just look at it like you're, an arena looking at a gladiator or something, but get involved. You may actually be getting in the dirt. You just never know. Then we're going to stay around after the convention, and we wish everybody would do this. We're going to be around fires. We're going to be lying and laughing and talking, and that's going to be some great information. It always is there. Meet some new people, get some new friends, network the way conventions used to be. So, it's $10 to get in the gate. We're just being honest. We've had to pay for this to keep the thing open. We're hoping that between making like 50 cents on every meal and $10 at the gate, that me and Jeff can break even on this as far as the convention. We're not trying to figure out different ways to monetize this. We're just wanting to see if we want to ever do this again, and just to make it as simple as possible. But if you want to come, I believe you're going to have a good time because it's going to be a lot more laid back than you're probably used to. And it's going to be more like a bunch of trappers getting together with just being friends and hanging out. So that's going to be the first Friday and Saturday of October. And if you don't know where that's at, it's also look at my website, Wolfer Nation. Go to the PCG store, go to categories, look under business class and trapping school. You will see the address, and you can use GPS to get there. And it has that information. Plus, on the homepage, of the PCG store. I've got information up there. Okay. I want to start off with something before we get in this topic, just so you can kind of see what's going on. Now, this seems like it's out of a movie. It seems like something you'd read in a a fiction book about the CIA and, you know, these ex-Navy SEALs that are running around and doing stuff. Guys, if you did not know this, you need to know this. America has got a plan. It's a very effective plan. It's been proven over and over again. And this is how America overthrows leaderships in other countries. There's a plan for that. We've done that. We've done it in Ukraine. We tried to do it in Russia. We've helped support it in Venezuela, Georgia, not the state, the country, over next to Russia. There's other countries that we have, Libya or Syria, I think it's Syria. I mean, Hillary Clinton just came out like a buffoon and just, you know, was laughing about we came and he died. Basically, we set up a revolution there. It's the same formula that we use to start this, you know, the big spring thing in Egypt. Remember all that in the Middle East? Yeah, that was us. That's what there's plans for, proven. Now, if you think that America doesn't do that, then you're just being naive about the world that you live in. Politicians are part of it. You have all of these little alphabet soup groups, you know, that are intelligence, they're part of it. There's a lot of money involved in to pull this off, but it's cheaper for the insurgency. So if think about in Ukraine, the insurgency is the people that are calling for revolution and going out and getting people fired up where they start destroying stuff. That's insurgency. So when you look around our country today, you're seeing a minute part of the insurgency. We've all heard people talk about the deep state. Oh yeah, it's real. That's the fourth branch of government, bureaucracy and people that are not elected. And if you don't think they have power, again, you're being extremely naive. So they've taken this formula that America, for American interest, has used against countless countries to basically oust leaderships and bring in a different style of government. They're now using the deep state, politicians, billionaires, people that want to have a reset of the economies of the world, global warming, all kind of craziness. But there's a lot of money. But now America's formula has been turned on America. And the first thing you need to understand about this is what is an insurgency. I know it sounds, you know, kind of cool. It sounds like I said, it's something out of a movie. You know, you got, you know, these highly trained, specialized warriors running around doing stuff. Oh, no. It's a force multiplier. Just the way special forces works. They go into country. They train people so you can have so many military of Americans in there, but then you can have times 10 of everybody else. So you got an army, but you have a small group of those people that are actually training and running it. Force multiplier. So when you see Antifa in Black Lives Matter, you need to understand what you're looking at. Black Lives Matter is a paid project from China. Sounds crazy? Start doing your research. You also have, that is an incorporation that has close to $170 million donated to it. since George Floyd. Where's the money go? You need to do some research on that. How and why are all of these billionaires and big corporations dumping money into a group that is led by a handful of women that have made it very clear that they are trained Marxists, want a revolution, and want to destroy capitalism in the family? Could it be ignorance? I think for some people it is when it comes to corporations, and some people it's not, because people get promised things to be at the table. You're either in or you're out. So you get all of this money going to that one single organization. And all of a sudden you have all these Antifa people running around that are being spotted in Portland, then Baltimore, then Philadelphia. And who's the biggest supporter of them? George Soros. What does George Soros do? He overthrows countries to make money on the collapse of their currency. Now, you want to think that it's everybody's a good guy or a bad guy. There's a lot of people that are being used as tools by the real insurgency, the hardcore people, like the leaders of BLM and Antifa, that have been taught and through education in different ways that they're doing the right thing. They believe it, and they're actually doing it from a good place in their heart. It's just out of ignorance. No different than the brown shirts were being used in Germany, and then when Hitler, to prove that he could get law and order under control, basically the night of the long knives, if you ever heard the AC/DC song, which is based about a true historical event, where Hitler had all of his people, just like Antifa, stabbed. All in one night. It was actually pretty amazing. But see, an insurgency is hard to defend against. Have you seen the news lately from upper Washington through Oregon and California? The whole place is on fire. Now, when you watch the mainstream news, which will come up in here and again in a second, they're saying it's climate change. If you start digging around, you start seeing all of these arrest records being put out for arson. And who are these people associated with? And they're protesters. So they're going around haphazardly over three states, killing multiple people, destroying thousands of structures. No telling how many total acres, because as an insurgent, you can cause mass chaos for very little money. So a couple of gas tanks of fuel, $100 worth of Molotov cocktails, a whole bunch of books of matches, maybe some flares. You just drive around catching shit on fire. Now see, as Americans, we don't really want to think there's people doing that. But that's what insurgents do. It costs them very little money. How much money is that costing us to fix what they're doing and to catch them? A lot. See, the insurgency is kind of like it's a very psychological guerrilla warfare for the cheap. And you may think that, okay, Antifa, yeah, they're doing some bad things, but you know, saying George Soros is paying for them. You can go online where Antifa is actually protesting because George Soros hasn't sent their weekly paycheck. Where's our money, George Soros? It's come to believe that a protester makes $250 a day and stays at 4-star motels. When they go from city to city, they fly. See, that's orchestrated. That's not haphazard. You're going to hear in the upcoming months this word over and over again, especially close to election, that we use over and over again in all these other countries, and we did this on the news, where these protests are spontaneous. I want you to remember that word, spontaneous. Because I don't think the people that are following the rule book are creative enough not to actually follow it too close. So an insurgent is someone that can do something on the cheap that costs a lot of money to guard against, and they do a lot of destruction, because the freer the country like ours, the more people have rights to do stupid stuff like what they're doing right now. And people just don't want to believe that they're doing it. See, what they're doing in those three states out west by destroying all that structure, causing all that chaos, people having to leave their houses, their places and all their livelihoods getting burnt up, didn't cost very much. But it's really hard. Just think about it. You get 10 buddies and driving 10 different directions, and every 15 or 20 miles you start throwing Molotov cocktails into the weeds. Stuff's going to catch on fire and it's going to catch and take over. That's really hard to stop. Really hard to stop. Blocking traffic, causing chaos, how much does that cost? What does it cost the economy if you shut down interstates? So you have to understand what makes an insurgent so hard to do is he's just like everybody else, or she, or shim with Antifa. It's kind of like if you've ever seen the old Vietnam movies and the Viet Congs and the local population, and he's cutting your hair and during the day and trying to kill you with a bayonet at night. You have no idea. You know who they are. All of a sudden they go and they start shooting power stations and knock out a grid. They just decide to randomly shoot several people. See, panic and chaos is not hard to get with insurgents. I promise you, me and about five people can shut down any state in this country with about 30 minutes of planning in 2 days for probably less than $500. I'm so grateful that Muslim terrorists obviously are not that intelligent nor have that have an IQ to figure that out. But the insurgents we're dealing with now are not the same. It's a way to spoil everything. It's a way to cause anxiety. It's a way to cause chaos. It's a way to make people very uneasy because all of a sudden everything's out of whack. You don't know what you can do, what you can't do, who you can trust, who you can't trust. Psychologically, insurgents are terrifying for what they can actually do. See, if you're in the East, fires out West don't mean a whole lot to you. What if that starts happening, you know, in the East, like you trying to burn down Tennessee right now is a joke because we live in a humid climate and everything's green and full of water. What about November when all the leaves are on the ground? See, what they're getting out East, West, we're probably going to start seeing out East, and it's just going to be, oh, it's nobody. I mean, it doesn't know. It's just climate change. Don't be ridiculous. No one's doing this on purpose. Do you remember? See, I remember when I was a kid, there was a few times that people would drop cement blocks off of overhangs and kill people. For no particular reason. But you know, today, if I'm driving and I see someone on top of an overpass, my butt's going to pull over to the side of the road till I see what they're doing. Because I remember those images when I was a kid. How hard and cheap and how much panic does that cause if that starts happening around the country? Because there's no telling what these people, it's obviously they'll do anything. They're willing to burn their own cities down and burn their own states. So What are they not willing to do? So what I want you to do is when you see people committing all of this stuff that causes all this anger and emotional response and chaos, and actually it's not anarchy, but what a lot of people call anarchy, just lawlessness, you need to realize what you're looking at. Because once you realize what the monster is, you can deal with it a little bit better. They're insurgents. They are, within their own words, going to overthrow the American government. Black Lives Matter, you can get on YouTube, Death to America. Last time I heard that was in Iran. Listen to Antifa. I mean, they're now at the point of shooting police in cars and blocking the hospital, hoping they die before they get them into the hospital. And then while they're in there, they're chanting death to the police. These are insurgents. This is what happens in all these other countries that nobody pays attention to at the beginning of a revolution to start the ball rolling. So, I hope you can understand what an insurgent is. Because it can be anything. But it can cause so much freaking anxiety and damage. Just think about if they just start driving around random neighborhoods at 3 o'clock in the morning, and every fifth or sixth house they throw a Molotov cocktail on the roof. I mean, they're already burning down thousands of acres and structures in the West of this country. How much chaos? You know you're dealing with insurgents. Why do I know this? Because this is what the military does in other countries. So, I want to talk about the plan that America has used over and over again in other countries. And I want you to understand that you can see this with your own eyes. Don't listen to what they tell you you should hear or see, but with your own eyes and ears. You need to pay attention. Because when you start seeing it, oh, I know what this is. This is the next step of the plan. This is how we overthrow other countries. Number one, you need a semi-autocratic rather than a fully autocratic regime. What's that mean? Well, you need to have a country or an incumbent that's elected that comes across or is perceived as mostly a bully. What have we heard for 4 years about Trump? He's a fascist. He's Hitler. He wants to be a dictator. He hates everything, every race and creed and sex and religion there is. He's just the worst. And you need to have somebody that does a few things that they can point to, like bringing in federal troops to blockade federal courthouses and buildings in Portland. It's perception. Perception and reality, a lot of times, are not even close, but if you perceive something a certain way, it is your reality in your head, and you believe it just like the sky is blue on a sunny day. You need it. So number two, you need an unpopular incumbent. So when we go into other countries, if we find somewhere that we do not like and we do not like the leadership, they won't play whatever game is that the government of ours wants them to play. They start looking around, and the first thing they're looking for, can we give the perception of an autocratic regime? Number two, we have to have an unpopular incumbent. Can you think of a president that's called more strife perceptionally in this country ever in our lifetimes? No. I think he's doing a good job. But he's a threat to people because he's exposing people and different things, and they got to get rid of him. This is why they're using our tactics against ourselves. You need, number two, you need an unpopular incumbent. Number three, you needed a united and organized opposition. See, in foreign countries, we fund the government through other ways, so it's not so easy to trace. We fund people to get organized and united and show a front against the government. BLM, Antifa. If you don't think they're organized, how are they going to all these protests? If you don't think they're united, they don't even have a clue what they're talking about half the time, but they believe it. And everybody knows it. Number four, an ability quickly to drive home the point that voting results are falsified. This is how we overthrow other countries. What have we already seen from the Democrats? We can't believe that Trump will leave office. He will not accept that he loses, which I think is horse crap. Hillary Clinton has come out and said that under no circumstances should Biden admit he lost ever. Just like the girl down in Atlanta, the black lady that lost the governor's or the mayor's election, she's still going around saying she won. She's not conceded nothing. She lost by 50,000 votes. We just had all this stuff on TV about how the new mail-in voting, which if you follow where the mail-in voting is actually happening, it's Democratic states, where it's just mailed out en masse. And then they hold all these hearings because what if all the votes don't come in through the post office on time? How can we trust this? Have you heard about that lately? Have you heard how Trump is trying to commit fraud? He's going to steal the election. This is how we overthrow other countries, people. This is going to get more ratcheted up. So when you hear this from this point forward, you got the Democrats that's using a strategy of voting that's never been done before, that's going to cause mass chaos, is what they want, because they're pretty sure they're going to get the floor mopped when it comes to the election with Trump over Biden. So they're using what we do to other countries, and they're starting all of this stuff about you can't trust the election. You're going to hear it more and more over the next 7 weeks. An ability to quickly drive home the point that voting results were falsified. Number five, enough independent media to inform citizens about the falsified votes. Do you think that's going to be a problem? Now you may think, well, we got Fox, do you? We? Who the hell is we? Last night, Tim sent me a video of Newt Gingrich on Fox News. Go look it up. Fox News, the big conservative, hard-charging Republican, the ones you can trust, fair and balanced news reporters. Newt Gingrich is talking about all these protesters that are getting turned loose as soon as they're getting in jail. He goes, it's easy. It's because Soros is paid off all of they paid for all of these IGs in these different cities and states by getting them elected, that they're just turning loose all of these people that are out raping, pillaging, and burning. When he said Soros, he said a few more words, And the Fox News reporter, you could tell she's getting screamed at in her ear. We don't need to bring up Soros. Newt Gingrich didn't even know how to respond. He goes, well, he's paying for it. We do not need to bring up him into this conversation. And Newt Gingrich went, okay, kind of laughing like, holy cow, who am I talking to? CNN or Fox? Then the other person, we don't need to bring him up. There was like 13 to 15 seconds of dead air on national TV because Fox News has made a decision to not talk about Soros, the guy that overthrows country after country after country to become the multi-billionaire he is off of the currency crash. That's Fox News, people. Let that sink in. Now, do you think it's going to be hard to get CNN and MSNBC and Al Jazeera and all these other left-wing groups to start screaming out that the vote has been falsified and informed the citizens of the truth? That's number five. Number six, a political opposition capable of mobilizing tens of thousands or more demonstrators to protest electoral fraud. Have you not seen Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter has almost, no, I'm sorry, it's $1.7 billion. You don't think they can mobilize with $1.7 billion? There's countries with military that don't have $1.7 in their military budget. That's just them. We ain't talking Antifa. A political opposition capable of mobilizing tens of thousands of more demonstrations. This is where you're going to hear again, just like you heard, you know, with the Egyptian Spring and over in the Eastern Bloc parts where all these countries have fell. It's amazing. All of these protesters show up. All individuals. It's a grassroots movement showing their displeasure because they know that their vote does not count and their vote's being stolen. This is how we overthrow countries, people. In a division among the regime's coercive forces, that's police and military. Can you think of a time the police has been more probably backed up in a corner than they are now? George Floyd was a gift to the insurgents. Because they got people who show up thinking they're actually supporting black lives. They don't know that they're training sessions for the election. They don't know it. How more decisive can I imagine that the police department is right now than it's ever been? Now, here's something else you're going to hear, and you've already heard it, but you're going to start hearing a lot more. The way we overthrow countries is we divide the military. You know, the guys with the tanks, the Bradleys, and the drones, and the planes. You know them guys, the ones that trained killers. That's their job. Those guys. What was it, a week ago? News reports started coming out how Trump was calling fallen soldiers losers and didn't want to shake anybody's hand because he'd get his hair wet. And everybody there said, no, that didn't happen. Doesn't matter. People now believe Trump thinks that fallen soldiers are losers. And if enough soldiers hear this without knowing the full thing about what's going on because they're not being told, some of them are going to believe it. How many times over the last couple of years have generals and people in the military come out and try to scold Trump? You ever heard that before? Nope. So there's already people that they're doing this where they're showing that they're not pretty much going to listen to Trump. You've already got a decisive military chain of command structure going on right now. Because once you're, let me explain this if you don't know how this works. If you're enlisted, once you hit about a master sergeant, you become pretty political because that's what the job is. If you're an officer, once you hit light colonel, you're damn well a politician. You may have done all kind of cool stuff for your country before that, but your job now is basically a politician. So when you hear generals and colonels, you're not talking to someone that's going out there and sleeping on the ground anymore. You're talking about people that live in a political world. Everybody in the military knows this. And there's already several generals that are showing and already, see, what's the correct way of saying this? It's a literary term. Foreshadowing that they may be able to split off some of the military. Now, everything that I've seen, the rank and file military actually loves Trump. Like when I was in, nobody gave a crap about Bill Clinton. Nobody. George Bush? Yep. What about Obama? Couldn't stand him. Trump? They know he loves America. But it gets really convoluted in the military when a chain of command is going opposite, and it's going to cause a lot of soldiers to have to make decisions they never thought they would have to make. So I want you to tell me where in this list of seven that we throw over the countries with, that you now know what it is when you see it, what's going on in our country. A semi-autocratic or fully autocratic regime, perception anyway, unpopular incumbent, united and organized opposition, ability to quickly drive home the point that voting results were falsified. Oh, this is about to get heated up big time on that one. Enough independent media to inform citizens about the falsified vote. Well, apparently George Soros is even pulling strings at Fox, so I guess that leaves no one that won't do this. A political opposition capable of mobilizing tens of thousands of more demonstrators to protest electoral vote, and division among regime's coercive forces, police and military. What's the only thing on this list that hasn't happened yet? The election. You may think, oh, this is really far-fetched. So, let's talk about what the Democrats have come up with. And this is the Transition Integrity Project. It was conceived by Rosa Brooks, a law professor at Georgetown, a former Pentagon senior official. Niels Gilman, former Vice Chancellor of the University of California, Berkeley. Other members of the Transition Integrity Project include Michael Steele, a former chair of the Republican National Committee. And the Republican National Committee, John Podesta, former White House Chief of Staff. President of the United States, Bill Clinton. So you know the missus is there. Governor Jennifer Granholm. Former Kentucky Secretary of State, Trey Grayson, Now, acting committee acting chairman Donna Brazil and journalist William Crystal, Edward Luke, Max Boot, and Dave Foreman. So what they did, by using what we do to overthrow countries, they came up with different scenarios that are now in place depending on what happens at the election. Game one, ambiguous. The first game investigated a scenario in which the outcome of the election remains unclear election night and throughout the gameplay. The results from three states are in contention. What's that going to be? California, New York, somewhere out west. Three states are in contention and ballots are destroyed in one of the states, making it unclear who should have won the state. Neither campaign is willing to concede. So this is the Democrats basically saying, we're going to have to destroy one state's mail-in ballots. Game two, clear Biden victory. Biden wins both the Electoral College and the popular vote. Trump agrees, alleges fraud, and takes steps to further bend himself and his family, but ultimately hands the White House over to Biden. Game three, clear Trump win. Third scenario started with an electoral college vote for President Trump, 286 to 252, but the popular vote win is 42 to 47 for former Vice President Biden. In this scenario, Biden refuses to concede. The Democratic governors of two states that Trump won to send separate state of electors to the Electoral College, encourages three states to threaten secession, and convince the House of Representatives to refuse to certify the election and declare Biden the winner. I know one of those is going to be California. What's California? The fifth most economic country in the world? So if Trump wins, by the way, all of the presidents won, they're going to try to hold hostage secession. Now, you may think that, fine, I don't care if California goes. Personally, I don't care if they are a different country. They'll all starve to death in about 6 months without federal money. Game four, narrow Biden win. The final scenario explores a narrow Biden win when he leads with less than 1% of the popular vote and has a slim lead of 278 electoral votes. The Trump campaign sows chaos, but Senate Republicans and the Joint Chiefs of Staff eventually signal that they accept Biden's win. Trump refuses to leave and is removed by the Secret Service. See, the only people that's talking about not conceding the election is the Democrats, but they're acting like it's Trump. It is amazing to me when you listen to everything that's going on and you actually pay attention how obvious what this is. At least if you know what it is, you're not going to be taken aback. So here's a quote from John Kerry, you know, the guy that used to be chief of staff. If people don't have adequate access to a ballot, I mean, that's the stuff on which revolutions are built. He should know he was over three different overthrows of different countries using this same thing. If you begin to deny people the capacity of democratic to work, even the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, like they give a rat's ass about the Constitution, we have an inherent right to challenge that, and I'm worried that increasingly people are dissatisfied. I have no idea what is going to happen on November 3rd. Like I said, if you live in a city, for goodness sake, get your family out of there. You may think it's a manly thing to sit and fight. Your job is to secure your family. I have no idea how wild this is going to get. Why? I've never went through a coup in the country using what we use to overthrow other countries. America does not want to believe this can happen here. I get that. I'm actually grateful in a way that people are so naive. That means they've never really had to worry about all the stuff all these other countries around the world has had to deal with, which on one part is good and one part sets them up to be suckers. If you know what's happening, at least you'll be able to see what's coming. If you need to make preparations, I suggest you make preparations. For what? I have no idea. It's not going to be people that vote for Biden that you're going to be fighting. We've got a neighbor, which I feel sorry for him, because after we had the Trump parade with 750 boats right in front of their house, they felt the need to put up a Biden sign the next day. I know those people. They're not revolutionaries. I don't understand why they're voting for Biden, but I like them. They're not the enemy. How are you going to know who the enemy is? There's not any lines on a map. It's not North and South Viet Cong or Vietnam. Who knows what this is going to look like? But I think you're going to see a lot more fires. You're going to see more chaos than you're going to be able to comprehend. You're going to see people lose their tempers. I have a feeling there's going to be lots of blood. And there's no telling where it's going to end up. I think the best thing Trump could do right now, honestly, is to hold a press conference that he's going to stream live in every format that he can, and have videos that you can go to without having to go through the social media. Because if the media says that Trump didn't win, and he does, they're going to shut Trump out of everything. That's the community guidelines. The only thing you're going to hear is Trump lost. That's what we do to other countries. At least know what's going on. It's became so clear that now the United States IG has come out and said to states, you need to start prosecuting rioters under the Sedition Act or Insurrection Act. Why? Because they're actively part of an overthrow of the Republic of America. Do you know how hard it is for Americans to have to be put on a list like that on mass scale in a free country or free-ish country? But what Trump ought to do is blow it from the rooftops. This is how we overthrow other countries. Now you may say, well, then other countries will know. Well, it ain't going to make no difference if we ain't here and we're socialist in 2021 now, is it? And he should explain all of the governments that he helped overthrow, or the government overthrow before him, because I don't think any of that's happened since Trump. Explain how we do it and explain to people what they're seeing is what is happening to us. Of course, he's going to get crucified for it, but the more people that understand it, the better we can deal with it. Because it's not like the Chinese army's coming across. These are people that are American citizens. They want a Marxist and a socialist government, and they're willing to overthrow an election and cause a revolution to meet their needs. God help us.